Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The year is 1999.
Tamagotchis and Furbies are all the rage.
They are. 11-year-old gay-ass T. Kyle is running rampant, screaming.
January 1999.
Hey, I'm T. Kyle.
Hey, I'm Bradley Stern.
This is our new
brand name.
Yeah, no.
No, that's not going to work.
Hey, I'm T. Kyle.
And I'm Bradley Stern.
And this is It's Britney, Bitch.
A podcast for stans.
By stans.
Dedicated to 20 years of the living legend, Britney Jean Spears.
So her debut album drops right at the beginning of the year in January, Baby One More Time, titled after the lead track, track number one, Baby One More Time.
I see what they did there.
Yeah.
Why don't we dive into the album and go track by track through each song and talk about our most personal memories to date.
Agreed.
And everything that has come to be with this album.
Did you get this album, like the actual physical CD?
Yes. So this was the actual time that I acquired my first Britney anything. This was the album that I saw at the Virgin Megastore in Orlando.
For me in 99, it was just sneaking to watch MTV.
Yes.
And TRL. And I had my little digital enhanced edition Baby One More Time album that I'd plug in to watch the music video.
Another thing, do you remember what color your CD was? Remember that each of the CDs were like different variations?
Blue.
Mine was pink and yellow, I think. It was definitely pink.
Did that mean something, or was it just like,
no,
they just randomly...
I don't think it meant something, but yeah, they were like different variations for whatever reason. Yeah, you could like get different colors of the Baby CD, which is
exciting. Mine was blue. Baby blue. Baby One More Time blue.
I never actually got the CD single. I wasn't into CD singles until way later when I was nerding out and like...
Until Not Myself Tonight came out.
Until Not Myself Tonight. That's literally when it happened for me. Let's talk about...
The single that kicked it off.
Let's start with the song that really... kicked it all off.
That was me.
Oh, that wasn't a piano?
No.
Oh.
I just don't want to get copyright infringement.
All right. Yeah. Moving forward for 20 years, we'll just be singing the songs instead of playing them so as not to get sued from Countess Luann.
Yeah. Don't need another cease and desist.
I should point out.
Yeah. So let's start off by discussing Baby One More Time.
I've heard of it.
The original.
The unforgettable.
Actually iconic.
What else is there to say, really? Baby One More Time kicked it off. Name of the album. How do we feel about that? That is the name of the album.
I mean, Baby One More Time, because like it was her first, so it wasn't like she was doing anything again.
That is very true.
So it was like, okay, well, what do you mean one more time?
What did you
like,
do?
It makes sense now when she performs it, where she's like, you know, Baby One More Time.
Right.
It's like, you know.
Her residency needs to be called One More Time, by the way.
Right. I feel like it was more of a marketing thing, like from a brand perspective.
Completely. Before like, SEO, they were like, hey.
You named the album after the lead single so that you could find it when you went to Blockbuster.
Right. Blockbuster.
With your
Sam Goody,
CD player.
Virgin.
To go purchase it.
Absolutely.
So that's honestly probably why it has the title that it does.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really, I mean... It's not like she does nowadays with like Glory or Blackout or...
Themes, thematic.
Right.
Dangerous, yet friendly. Mm-hmm. Femme fatale.
Mm-hmm.
Sexy, yet sad. Okay, moving right along. Track two, You Drive Me Crazy.
One of the best on the album.
One of the best. The song that solidified, as we discussed in episode one, that made it clear that she was not a one-hit wonder.
It's true.
This is the song that most notably gave Melissa Joan Hart all of her fame. She was in the video, as was, what's his name?
I forget. It's with an A, isn't it?
Yes.
Who cares?
Who cares? No. I know it. Oh, God. I know it. It's not Aaron. It's not Ashton.
It's Adrian something.
Adrian yeah. something. Grenier?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Adrian Bailon?
Cheetah Girls? Anyone? Watch, it's going to be like so
from
wrong.
The movie, too? Because there was a
yes,
movie.
Yes, it was Adrian Grenier.
Which, by the way, the movie came after the song, Britney's Impact, literally.
Correct.
They were like, we're going to name this after a Britney song because she's so iconic already.
Adrian literally was on Watch What Happens Live to discuss filming You Drive Me Crazy 2 years ago.
Wow. I guess I'm
exposed.
Out of job. Fired tomorrow.
Fired. Oop. That is crazy. Crazy. Anyway, so so You Drive Me Crazy is a song that has been also brought, obviously, throughout the ages. I remember distinctly, my crazy memory is a little instructional video called Darren's Dance Grooves.
Oh, I was going to bring it up, but oh my.
Because that's the one.
The VHS.
The VHS. And most.
Do you guys know what that is? Do you know what a VHS is?
Yeah, should we before DVD.
It was like about the size of a brick.
Yeah.
And you had to put it into a television.
Right.
To watch music videos and things like that.
So anyway, the Darren's Dance Grooves commercial will forever be embedded in my brain mm-hmm. alone.
Do you wonder where Britney Spears or NSYNC got their moves? Here's your chance to get the inside look at how it's done. Darren's Dance Grooves is not sold in any store.
This is going to be the hottest video you ever seen.
To order, call the number on your screen or log on to musicspace.com. Must be 18 or older to call or log on.
But I did eventually bootleg it, I think from Kazaa or somewhere. Or maybe even a friend had it because I definitely had the full experience with mm-hmm. me. And I tried to learn it. I'll say that.
Same. I feel like I can only do the last part where she like bends down and
yeah.
puts her hand on her hips twice.
I couldn't understand the handography.
Nope. I can't. Nope.
We once went to a Britney dance class for Work Bitch.
That's true.
And we were so winded by one round of the chorus,
that
really.
Was so, now
it
that
was
I'm
the
thinking,
chorus.
That was so painful.
It was so difficult. We were doing groundwork, which we see her do effortlessly 500 million shows. Mm-hmm. And it was like so difficult. And that is one tiny part of one song of a full show. Anyway, we're not worthy of her.
My shins were bruised for at least a week.
Yes, exactly. So, and Darren's Dance Grooves really showed from the very beginning that mm-hmm. she was doing choreography
was
that the other girls
count.
Could never. Yeah.
And we couldn't do it.
We couldn't do it. Should we move on to the next
one? Yes.
All right. So track three, we've got her favorite song of all time.
Oh, God.
Sometimes. Now, I don't think she actually hates it. I feel like that was a bit to like shade herself a little bit.
Yeah, I never understood where that came from.
I don't either. And
it's not like she ever had a moment that was like
yeah.
embarrassing with Sometimes.
Right. It is an undeniably cheesy, sappy song.
Yes.
In a way that is cheesier perhaps than anything else on the album. It is so sincere and corny.
But she has an amazing love interest in the music video.
She most certainly does. And the video has certainly elevated the song, I think. The peer performance.
Mm-hmm. Which is a real peer that you can go to.
It is a real
it's
peer.
Still standing, I believe.
Still standing. Many, many of our friends have trekked there. In fact, our friend John Duff has once recorded a
that's
recreation
right.
mm-hmm. of the dance in the middle of either, was it a snow? No, it couldn't have been snow. It was a rainstorm or something.
It was a blizzard.
It was a blizzard. He did that in the same outfit.
Maybe she hates it because she was wearing black sneakers.
She was wearing
when
black
everyone
sneakers.
Else was wearing white sneakers.
Yeah, there were some.
That was the one thing I did not understand.
And I believe this is one of the times, the many times that the knee, there was an issue or there was an injury.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like a psychic right now. I'm like, is there an H in her name? Is there, I believe there was a knee issue somewhere in her past here.
There's been a couple Britney knee issues along the way.
I believe she absolutely had an injury.
Yeah, there was an early injury.
She said, in fact, during the rehearsals for Sometimes, she injured her knee and was forced to start sessions of physical therapy.
So maybe that's why she hates it.
It could be. Cursed.
Is it triggering?
It's the outrageous of the 90s, mm-hmm. basically. But trauma aside, I like Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Definitely would not wind up anywhere near my faves.
No.
And I think it is so endearingly Britney that is something that people remember mm-hmm. very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So the next track, Soda Pop.
Ugh, an underrated gem.
Underrated, underappreciated. The first of what we would call Weird Knee, which is when she just totally went left of center and did something so bizarre.
Very Weird Knee. That's going to be a thing we say, Weird Knee.
Weird Knee.
Because it follows through.
It does.
Through other albums.
Just shows that she's kind of an artsy-fartsy left of center artist. Soda Pop is really important in that movement. It's, I remember mocking that song in front of my friends because I found it so ridiculous, not realizing that I was mocking the thing that I love. Anyway, repression. But like, I remember coming to school and being like,
wait, so were your friends in school like Britney stans and you were still like being masked for same?
No, I was definitely, and I should say, and my friends and family will check me, there was no maskness. I just was super repressed.
Got it.
But I think I just have this very vivid memory of sitting in, we were all in like four desk like squares around the room, and in my four desk, like I came back after having heard the album and like did the Britney shimmy and sang the chorus to my friends to like mock it, or meanwhile going home and worshiping silently for hours,
plugging in your Darren's Dance Grooves VHS, rewinding
it. Yes,
waiting 10 minutes for it to rewind,
exactly,
and then trying again,
updating my live journal like I'm not gay. Also, you, that is a side note, my family and I once, we read through my old live journal.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It is a nightmare, but it was hysterical because every entry was like me saying like how defiantly heterosexual I am and just being like, I'm not gay, so I don't know. And I would take a survey and be like, what do you prefer, boxers or briefs? And it'd be like, well, I would never care about that on a man, so I don't know.
And this is all happening in 1999?
Either, well, that must have been like, this might have been,
you need
like
to publish this on mewmuse.com.
I will do snippets of it.
You need to go through and do an expose of yourself.
My family was in tears, and now all of the Netflix accounts are named after different things that I say. Like, I'm not gay. Raffle is one of our login names.
Your mother's dragging you.
My mother is dragging me. And so that all came from my own repression. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. So moving right along. Unless you have anything else to add about Soda Pop.
Well, I just remember being in, I just had this huge CD player and it was one of my favorite songs. And I remember just trying to learn the words and I never could. I still don't know what they're saying.
No, no.
Or what she's saying.
And that also really is the start of accent-ny or
makes no sense-ny.
Inflection-ny. Or because we, of course, had British-ny coming up in years to come. But she definitely adopts a
character.
A character, yes. So we're going to move right along to
one of the best songs of all time.
One of the best songs of all time.
Yeah, we will have to do like a top 10 debate at one point here.
That's a good idea. We should do that.
Because I feel like this would probably be there.
Born to Make You Happy is without a doubt a favorite of mine, and on some days if you ask me, it would be my absolute favorite.
Same.
I've thought long and hard about the song. I don't know exactly what it is besides the fact that it is purely a pop perfection song, melody-wise. I don't remember it having a big moment, at least in the States, to the degree that it did outside. No.
I feel like I didn't appreciate it till like later on. Like, I remember liking it, obviously, as a kid.
Definitely.
But I feel like I didn't really discover the music video until like years later.
Yes.
You know, this thing called the internet happened.
The internet happened.
And I was like, I never saw it until the Greatest Hits DVD.
Right.
And I feel like it's a stan favorite.
It's a stan favorite.
People will agree.
It's sort of like a secret handshake among stans, like to reference Born to Make You Happy, especially the bonus remix with the throat clearing cough at the beginning.
Which, and extra vocals.
Extra vocals, ad libs. Any memorable performances? This was, Born to Make You Happy was the, like, Dream Within a Dream, what was it? Like, her little fairy tale moment where she comes out of the music box.
But it never really has, like, an epic.
No.
For being, I think, one of the greatest ones that it is.
Yeah.
It still doesn't have, like, it hasn't gotten a good epic moment yet.
I don't know that it ever will.
Deep in my heart it will.
Again with the deep in my heart. You love Deep in My Heart.
I do.
Yeah, I think it's definitely just one of her staples among stans.
The next track.
Yes.
From the Bottom of My Broken Heart.
From the Bottom of My Broken Heart.
I just want to say that.
No.
So, like, this is the one. Okay, so Baby One More Time, Crazy, Sometimes, all had music videos. And they were on TRL. And I remember seeing them and watching them. And then From the Bottom of My Broken Heart was the next one here in the U.S., at least if I'm, like, a kid. Like, because back in the day, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I was, like, an outdoor kid. So, like, I got Britney from MTV, like, the early years.
Right, right.
So, if it was not on MTV, I had no idea what was going on.
Right.
So, I had no idea that Born to Make You Happy had a video until, like, years later. So, the next thing, it was, like, From the Bottom of My Broken Heart, and she was so... It was like, what's the word? Very not what the first three were.
Sure.
The look was very, it was cute.
Right.
She's a cute girl.
Uh-huh.
Cute next to gorgeous. Gorgeous is gonna devour cute. And it was not, it was just, it was a weird pivot. Especially looking back on the rest of the album, I didn't understand why that was next. And last, because that was the last music video from the album.
If the media is played into her trajectory at that point, she was already getting backlash for Crazy, for sure, for the sexual image.
Oh, right.
And I believe this was probably a safe step back.
Oh, to be right. Like, so like it'll be fall, put a jacket on,
teenage
her pants,
dream and sort of
got it.
Yeah, I think that was
they didn't
the
want to
intention
go too far.
Right. And there was controversy around the video because the director, I believe, had previously done, like, I think adult films.
Oh, word.
But obviously the video is squeaky clean.
Oh, yeah.
Oddly, she performed this later at the Grammys with Baby in
yes.
a medley, which of all the songs to pick to represent her at the Grammys was sort
not
of like
one.
Not the one. But yeah, and also just an interesting fact about it, which I find fascinating is like she did this before the hits came in. Like she mm-hmm. did Bottom and a few other ones.
Oh,
call it out.
Oh, she bottomed?
She
oh.
bottomed. She,
everyone at home's like, same.
she recorded this one among other ones like before the Max Martin thing happened. Mm-hmm. So this is when they were trying to get her sound right.
Innocent knee,
truly. So we can keep on. We keep on rocking to number 7, which is one of my all-time favorites mm-hmm. from the album. I Will Be There.
Mm-hmm.
She
this
gave
one
us
is like
vocals.
This is vocal knee
this is
of the album.
The bridge
this is
of
the
this
one.
Song, they're like just take a mm-hmm. Oh,
she has two big vocal notes in this one.
Oh yes, she does.
Probably her second best vocal.
What's her first?
Well, we're not on that album yet.
Oh, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Yeah, she. Unfortunately, this one didn't travel with her in time as I wish it would have.
No.
It, like, Touch of My Hand has gone the distance, but not this. She did this at the Arthur Ashe.
U.S. Open.
U.S. Open.
1999.
Yes.
With Rosie O'Donnell skipping around the
right.
court while Britney just sat up there. And it's one of my favorite. It makes me so happy when I hear the song.
The song is so pure and good. That
like,
sort
when
of
you're feeling
urgent.
Alone, baby, just let me know. And she will be there. And that has carried through.
That really has. I mean, when I think of her, it's like guardian angel.
This is
so
guardian
I will
angel
be there.
Me.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. However, moving on to the next track, as it gets a bit grim.
I'm fucking up the lyrics. Time may take us apart, but I will still love you. Actually, she's serving vocals on this too. But I know where you're talking about how this gets grim and how
yeah.
this has... If we had filmed this podcast 6 or 7 years ago, it would have
yeah,
been a different story.
Totally.
So this is her first duet.
Yes.
And it's a great duet.
It is. I mean, it's super 90s cheesy, but...
And vocals.
Vocals are great. So it's a duet with Don Philip, who ended up showing up years later.
Mm-hmm. To a little show called The X Factor.
Correct.
Auditions.
Correct.
It was... Dark.
It was dark.
And it made me very sad.
It did. And it made her very sad.
I didn't like that they did that.
They,
I thought that was really fucked up. Well, X Factor is a whole other
X Factor is obviously an episode, and mm-hmm. we will dive into what happened with Don Phillip.
2012.
But it wasn't cool.
No.
Okay, we can move right on.
Mm-hmm. Speaking deep in my heart.
Oh, God, again. Deep in my heart is like your contact of the Un show.
I don't
of yeah, Katya I, and Trixie. You're a deep in my heart stan.
I don't even know why. I feel like
it's just been constantly referenced.
It really has been. I've been singing it for the past week.
On and off the record, just so the listener knows, like he has referenced Deep in My Heart like several times before we even hit play, hit record.
Yep, I have.
That's fine. It's fine. So Deep in My Heart. Why don't you take it?
I want you for the rest of my life. Dun, 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 dun. It's just like so cheesy. And I remember, I think, okay, this is why it's stuck in my head, because there's an Instagram account that posts old videos and right. they're like rare videos. So you guys would really like it. It's the original doll.
Oh,
is
yeah.
the account. And it's completely random. Like there's never really a theme to it. And the other day they posted a video from the mall tour in 99. And she performed this song and the mic was on. She was singing it live and it just stuck with me. And I've been for the past week just singing it.
Yeah, you certainly have.
Just catchy, fun.
I mean, it's a great, it's a funky
it's
track.
Corny.
It's good. It's oh, God. Corny. We are moving on to Thinking About You, mm-hmm. which is excellent. And to this day, if I hear the phrase Thinking About You, mm-hmm. I say it real fast, like the song, like Thinking About You.
I was going to just try and hit the note right here, but I'm just not going to even.
She does have some note. Yeah.
It goes like up. It's almost like a little Private Shoney.
Ooh.
In this one.
Actually, yes.
Like when she hits that one.
Yeah. Mariah, calm down. We need the silicone mask. We need to get you some.
Yeah, it's like it's a little Private Shoney because it's like the vocals are like up and down.
Yes. Oh,
if you
up
will.
And down.
Yeah. In pitch.
We literally can't say a sentence without being like reference.
Yeah. Well, you know,
that's our language. That's just how we do. How we roll, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's, you know, I have not ironically thought about this song in a long time.
Oh, I have.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The debut holds up for me. Oh my God.
They say it's deep so Private Shoney.
That's true.
I think the reason why I've been thinking about it is because whenever I hear Private Show, when it comes on Shuffle, when I listen to Glory, which is like pretty much every day.
Yes, you do.
And I think of Private Show. For some reason, I always think of the song.
And the deep vocals are my favorite part of the Britney register.
Mm-hmm.
So we Soul-ney. Love that. Soul-ney. Queen of Soul. Too soon?
That was way too soon. Everyone just unsubscribed.
Just lost.
It's only episode two and everyone's gone. Everyone just clicked out.
Okay. Well, now we're just talking, you and I. So at this point, we're going into my go-to mm-hmm. karaoke song, Email My Heart.
Everybody's been doing emails.
Everyone's been doing the emails lately.
Just Email My Heart.
Email My Heart has had a wonderful resurgence in recent years because it's now ironic. I mean, it was dated from the jump, pretty much. Like, even when it had just came out, it was corny, I feel.
It was corny, but I felt like it was with its time.
Sure, but...
At least for me, because I remember with computers.
You remember emailing?
Well, we didn't have a computer. Like, we weren't, like, it was, like, my dad's laptop.
Uh-huh.
And I was only allowed to use it to listen to music, basically.
Okay.
So I remember being like, oh, my God, like, everyone's so cool. They're allowed to use AOL. And I'm not.
Oh, my God.
And this was, like, right before I was allowed to... get my first. And honestly, I want to say that like Email My Heart may have inspired my parents to let me start using AOL.
Stop it.
Because my first screen name was WrestlingFan99.
Really?
A 1000% true story.
Mine was Sable Queen of Pop 12.
Was it really?
No, but it should have been.
Oh my God.
What was my first?
We could talk about Sable if we want.
We can talk about Sable, the Britney of wrestling.
Yeah, but that was like the first AOL account I had, obviously made in 1999.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was inspired by Email My Heart because I wanted to be cool like Britney.
Wow.
And so I probably complained enough. And then they were like, fine, shut the hell up and get on AOL.
I wish mine was cool. Mine was not cool. And I like still use it for like random accounts.
Grindr.
Yeah, it's my Grindr name. Brad Lee with an E151 to represent the original 151 Pokemon.
Wow.
Yeah.
I stand that.
I did that.
The original.
Yeah, she's the original.
Be the very best.
Ugh, Pokemon. It all coincided at the same time.
It did.
Yeah, because I believe Brad Lee with a Y was taken. So that's that fun fact.
And just like Email My Heart.
It's just like email. So the actual Email My Heart, I legitimately sing this song every time I do karaoke, assuming I am in a room of friends. If I go with complete strangers, it's less.
It doesn't really land.
It doesn't quite land. It has to be the right vibe. But if you've been in the presence of me singing this song, you are among a lucky few. There's a really good picture of me like mid hitting a really good note, and the lyrics are like showing on the screen.
God.
Email My Heart is so good. Legitimately.
It's also, now that I think about it, because I'm like humming at my head, it was a weird, because like the internet was cool back then.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the song is produced and like the runs and like whatever are so not cool.
Yes, exactly.
That maybe you would think it would have been like a techno-y, because like even the Spice Girls, who were a couple years before this album, had some very good electronic dancey stuff.
Yeah.
So you would think with like Email My Heart, it would have been like, you know, a modem noise.
No, yeah. It is like a torch ballad, completely
email
cheesy.
Email me back and say it's so bad. It's so, in a good way.
Yes.
But yeah, it's like not really very forward and not very cool.
Mm.
Which I never really thought of until this moment.
I wish she would acknowledge it in some way.
Like on Instagram?
Yeah.
God. DM me back and say
our nudes will never leak.
Oh my God.
Too late. So Email My Heart. And it is a fan favorite in referencing, at least. Mm-hmm. I don't know that a lot of people actually like the song. I actually like the song.
It's kind of a meme now too, like
it's
screenshot
such a
of
meme.
Her, what's like everyone's been doing
straight and people then know it. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows it. Everyone's doing the emails. Moving right along, we have a song called The Beat Goes On, which is her first cover.
Legends only
Britney on Cher. Now this is also one of her weirdest moments on the album.
And weirdest performances.
And weird performances. This is also the beginning of Wigney.
This is the first Wigney.
She wore a black wig during this performance.
That was not styled very well.
That was not styled super well.
It was a Halloween wig.
An homage to Cher. I should also point out, this kind of ties in on the Baby One More Time tour. She covered all the legends. She did Madonna. She did Janet. And here she's doing Cher. So she was kind of like covering all her legend bases real fast. This feels very Britney to me, despite being super weird.
It does.
Because she gets to play with her voice and she gets to play a character. And Lord knows she loves to play a character.
I literally just remember, it's on YouTube if you want to watch this before. It's so interesting. And it's like she just stands there.
She does her best Cher.
I just can't get over the Halloween wig. It really is like a, I'm going to be
like 70s hippie girl. Like,
yeah, or like
Party City dress.
It's like a Party City Cleopatra wig.
That sounded like we were like doing a drag race drag there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still legendary. And finally, actually, not finally, we can keep on moving along to
track number 13.
Which is I'll never stop loving you.
Kind of a boring moment.
Like, yeah,
she's a cute girl.
She's a cute girl. Definitely a low light. This song was not on the actual,
right, like the original
U.S. North American edition.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so, didn't need to be there.
No, it was kind of an extra filler
track.
good vocals.
It was on the Asian really edition, popped. Australian edition, but mm-hmm. not really for everyone. It exists.
I may stop loving it. I would say I probably did stop loving
I
it.
I think we did. It's a strong, it's a like. Mm-hmm. However, the final track
is also a good one.
It is Autumn Goodbye, the official B-side of Baby One More Time. I wish it got more recognition. I'll just keep saying that. I wish it got more recognition, this song especially, because I think a lot of people knew this song. It just wasn't on the radio, obviously, because they had their single.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of like a memory I have attached to Autumn Goodbye.
I don't really have any.
I don't think I do either. I just know that when the seasons are changing,
mm-hmm.
that I think of it.
Yep.
And were I to have a love from April to September,
yeah.
bittersweet would be the love that we shared.
I remember. She goes low again with
I
it.
I remember. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a wrap up of all the tracks that were included on Baby One More Time.
Mm-hmm. A very strong vocal album.
A vocal album. Thank you. Vocals for days.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot
frankly,
of people forget that.
People forget that, and the fake 2007 Beyond fans, I'll say it, just don't have any idea about what kind of vocal delivery she was giving us.
Nope. And if you look at those videos on YouTube that are like, Britney really can sing,
yeah.
which is basically my entire recommended
right,
feed.
Exactly.
It's like
all
clips
era.
From this era and Oops and all the early stuff when her mic was on.
Yeah. When they were
she really was
her.
Serving the vocals.
She really was.
And that's why we stand in the beginning.
That really is. Mm-hmm. Like she was a
nerdy queen of pop who could sing mm-hmm. and dance.
Yeah. What more do you need?
No, not that's it.
And queen of controversy, as we'll also get into.
Okay, so I thought of a fake sponsor for us. I need time. Time, love, joy. I need Squarespace. Brought to you by Squarespace. Joy, joy. I need May. Use squarespace.com/May for nothing, absolutely nothing, because it's not a real sponsor. But if it was, that would be it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I thought of that one this morning.
That is a very good one. Mm-hmm. I definitely approve of that one.
Great.
You want a hot body? You want a Bugatti? You want a Maserati? You better join Indeed.com to find a job near you.
And get back to work.
Bitch.
Bitch. Oh
God. She wasn't just delivering Baby One More Time and having a suggestive schoolgirl uniform as her lead controversy. Only a few short months after that, she landed the cover of Rolling Stone in what is still one of the most iconic images from both her career and from the Rolling Stone cover
oh, yeah.
collection. Her holding the gay Teletubby,
mm-hmm.
Tinky
and
Winky,
phone.
And the phone. A perfect encapsulation of David LaChapelle's aesthetic and also 90s culture, like mm-hmm. all in one. Phone, Teletubby, 90s icon, all right there.
It is such a good cover.
It's such a good cover. It is wildly inappropriate for a 17/18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in this day and age, I still think people would be, like, pretty uncomfortable with...
I don't know.
Well, who are the girls out right now, really, that are that age? That
I mean, the thing is, because now, like, you think about it, back then, there wasn't any of these like social platforms.
Right.
This was the first, really all you got was the videos and the photo shoots. So this was a huge, I mean, Rolling Stone was, I mean, it still is such an iconic name, but even more so then when print was really the biggest mm-hmm. thing out there.
Correct.
To be
yeah.
on the cover of Rolling Stone, you were, there's just so much more saturation now with digital and print and Instagram and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. I think now it just doesn't feel, I don't think it would be as shocking because it's so, everything's so saturated on Instagram and everyone kind of posts, you know, if they're at the beach, they're in a bikini and like, it's not really as, you know, shocking anymore. Whereas back then for such a young pop star to be on such an epic, they were really more so like rock and music.
Right.
And so she was so new and people didn't really take her seriously. And so I think that added to the shock value of it.
I also, I remember revisiting the actual article of it. a few years ago, and the ending kind of shook me a bit. I'm going to read a passage from the Book of Rolling Stone.
The inside photos are also really good.
Yes, we should say that the inside photos, which are done in her Kentwood home, totally encapsulate like her family and her upbringing. There's Jamie Lynn like dancing with her. To Madonna. They're like dressed as Madonna, or Jamie Lynn is dressed as like Madonna. It's very surreal. And and if you go to the Kentwood Museum, they have her exact room laid out, like the photo shoot with the creepy dolls and everything.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's still iconic.
So at the end of this Rolling Stone article, they say, whatever Britney Spears ends up growing into, she stands today as the latest model of a classic product, the unerotic pop star who performs her duties with vaudevillian pluck and spokesmodel charm. As Spears herself says, it's not supposed to be in depth. That doesn't mean I haven't worked really hard. Then again, if you're standing in some bar 10 years later, 10 years hence, and Baby One More Time comes on the jukebox, you'll smile and you'll move. It looks like ephemeral pop might even be around in 10 years' time. According to one estimate, the U.S. teen population is set to rise in the next decade from 29 million to 36 million. In other words, resistance is futile. Teens are driving our culture, and they won't be giving the keys back anytime soon.
That's a crazy quote for 1999.
It is a crazy quote, and it kind of gives me shivers when it's predicting that you'll even hear Baby on the jukebox in 10 years and remembering. Like, they knew how iconic it was then. We knew how iconic it was
then. How much of an impact it made in that year in terms of music and pop culture, and that it's still be around to 20 years
it's later. Shocking. And of course now we're still doing it, and we're still having these think pieces about it, which is just incredible. The it's impact,
crazy, if you will.
Crazy. Exactly, as we will surely do in 20 years for the debut single from Halsey. So so the cover incited a lot of controversy at the time, so much so that Nestle even pulled out of a sponsorship deal with her tour. And that is shocking that, like, that image did it.
I have to admit, I didn't even know she had a tour that year.
She had the Baby One More Time tour.
I was just so disconnected from, like, I don't know what it was.
I wasn't aware of it at the time because I was busy playing EverQuest in my room. But, and, like, live concerts were, like, not going to be a thing for me for a while.
Right.
Which is weird comparison to now. But the thing that sucks about that is, like, she had some incredible, like, vocal moments during that show, just covering Open Arms and stuff. And there's just, like, this shoddy VHS footage that exists on YouTube pretty much because...
That's so unfortunate.
It really is. She was giving those vocals then. And that's, of course, part of those compilations of, yes, she can sing. Speaking of controversy and iconic performances, 1999 is also her first year at the VMAs.
Yes. I remember watching this one live.
I don't think I watched this one live. It was only from 2000 onward, but I knew that it happened.
I remember getting in trouble too for watching MTV.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
You were that household? You couldn't watch MTV?
Nope. Not at first.
Oh, my God.
And so, but that was where I got all my info from.
Right.
So it was like that, and I remember the top nine at nine.
Yeah.
Whoever that was, and that was it, and CDs.
I remember there was also her red carpet look was like mildly super tan, right?
She was so tan. She was very tan.
This was really dipping her toes into the water of like what she was going to do at future VMAs. You know, I know Stans reference this one as one of the greats, and it is a good one, but her Billboard and EMAs performances are actually superior.
So much better.
We get a
for
full
the VMAs,
medley.
She was really, not that she was an opener.
Right.
But she was part of, you know, NSYNC's performance.
Right.
And so she was kind of like the beginning act of it. And then like, they came out. So it was kind of like a joint experience. And they had the same set. And they had the same theme. But the EMAs and the Billboard, it was like
that's
Britney's
where it was at
performance.
It was like a different person almost. The VMAs was like, to set the scene for those who don't know it, first of all, go Google and watch it and come back. That was the classroom setting. They wisely recreated the video more or less, or at least the aesthetic.
Themes.
We loved the roll call. That was fun.
With all the gays.
All the gays.
Like, it literally was like a whole classroom of gays.
Here? Yes.
Yeah.
Basically. And I love her entrance.
No.
Here. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Maybe I'm taking off my stand goggles in this moment to just say, like, that is not really one I'd be like, this is proof that she's the legend.
Mm-hmm.
However, EMAs and Billboard, I think visually the EMAs look is cooler mm-hmm. with the red wrap that comes off or red dress, whatever. She does a really, really bizarre space themed predating Oops, but like,
yes,
that's where she was taking us, telling us the story ahead of time. Tap rendition
mm-hmm.
of Baby into Crazy and
microphone on live vocals.
Yes. And she delivers her first very casual, unassisted back handspring, mm-hmm. super casual. And everyone just like doesn't even realize how crazy impressive that is.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much from the get go, she remixed Baby.
Kind of very Onyx Hotel ish a little
yes,
bit.
Yes.
In that performance, which is interesting because we were just watching those performances again before chatting. And there's like elements of them that she's kind of done again.
Yes.
Later. The opening is literally Piece of Me. The new,
her new intro.
Reimagined, still iconic opening.
Yes.
It's very similar. Like when you guys watch it, you'll notice. And then the screens have, like, the comet hitting Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's Hold like, It Against Me, kind
Brittany,
of.
The Baby One More Time moment is very Onyx Hotel. Mm-hmm. Baby One More Time in the little lounge.
Yes.
It's just very, like, Brittany.
Totally. I would recommend for anyone who maybe hasn't done as deep of a dive into her most early stuff to get into the Billboard Music Awards and the EMAs performances in 99. Those are actually superior to VMAs. That might be controversial, but I don't think so.
No, they are very much superior.
Yes.
Because the mixes are better. The routine, it's a Britney-specific
Definitely.
Performance. Not, oh, I'm going to come out before the NSYNC.
Exactly.
Because in the U.S., she was major, but she was also the opener for NSYNC for a hot second. So
right.
It was like right off the heels of the boy band era.
Yep.
But in the U.K., they just went all out.
Yeah. This is not the year, while Baby One More Time is iconic, this is not the year that people believed she was iconic yet.
No.
She was a cute girl with a teen pop smash hit single and opening up for NSYNC, and it was all very exciting, but we're not there yet.
Nope.
Like, we did, however, get over the one hit wonder hump. But
yes.
Obviously, she was massive at this time.
Yeah, this is the year that really set the groundwork. Yes. It's kind of the year where, like, the other girls started coming out and we started to see more like female acts and
the other girls who
I don't know. I will leave it up to everyone's imagination. I mean, it was like the Spice Girls were in 96, 97 and then massive. And then it was like boy bands. And then 99 was like the girls started popping up.
The girls started shaking the table.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, Jerry left Spice Girls. So there was like this like horrifying moment where like, we need a girl to save us.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they were carrying the torch for 2 years at least, 96 to 98. Britney kept us strong.
She did.
Yes. Yeah. So that, in a nutshell, is the 99 experience for us. Let us know if you guys have any favorite memories from the era, specifically 99, or any favorite songs from the album that we're not giving enough love to.
I think that pretty much wraps up 99.
Oh, and we have to do a knee to describe the year. So what knee would you give to 1999?
So for 1999, well, in 98, I said pigtail knee.
Yes.
In 99, because we got a full album, I'm going to say vocal knee.
Oh, that is what I was thinking too.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it really just does sum up the album.
Yes.
And the album was the defining moment for the year.
Correct.
Because VMA knee this year was mellow.
Yes.
But vocal knee was.
Yes. I definitely turned to 99 as the evidence of her vocal talent.
Mm-hmm.
There are, of course, other years, but this is like
2000 is also
course
we get vocals up until like for a few more years.
Yep,
but this year is the standout for me. Like if vocal knee is 1999,
definitely belter knee.
I will still be there knee.
I will still be there knee.
Deep in my heart knee.
Deep voice knee.
mic still on during performances knee.
Ooh. So we've gone with vocal knee.
Yes. So we have pigtail knee 98.
Yes.
Vocal knee 99.
Perfect.
And I think that's a perfect segue into the next year. Let's see. 2000. Y2K.
Let's find out which knee she'll be in 2000.
Yeah. Join us for the next episode.
See you there.
I'll see you soon.